never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God.
All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. So, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after to me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Oh, your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
Song has become one of our favorites because it's so true. No matter what's going on in your life, God is still good. The year was 2009, and it nearly took us out. We lost our house to foreclosure and a bank scam. Our marriage was coming apart at the seams, and our 15-year-old son was heading in the wrong direction. But from the outside, our life looked pretty good. Wiley's nursing career was taken off. I was a private practice mental health therapist. We camped on the weekends, and we were in church every Sunday. But on the inside, we were unraveling, and we were confused.
I was working as a home health nurse in Gentry, Arkansas. Anybody from Gentry?
We met some people from Gentry.
No Gentry. I had a homebound patient. Her name was Stella. For any of the healthcare providers in the room, just so you know, I have obtained permission to use her name, so HIPAA is not being violated during this story. Stella was a Katrina refugee. This was in 2009. When was Katrina? 2007, somewhere in there. Stella had been relocated to Gentry, Arkansas, and she'd had a surgery. And it was an abdominal surgery. It was a significant wound, and I went in to help her heal her wound. And the first time that I saw her, I began to educate her on the appropriate ways to get more protein. Because as a nurse and healthcare provider, I'm taught you must have protein for wounds to heal. She promptly informed me that she was vegan and her God would heal her wound. I said, okay, that's very strange. So I was actually playing the bass in a praise team on a Sunday morning worship service, and I was saving up for a new bass as I was working extra shifts, and Miss Stella irritated me because she wouldn't let me come on Sabbath. She wouldn't let me come on Saturday. I didn't know it was Sabbath then. And anyway, just irritated me. Her wound healed faster than anything I have ever seen. It was incredible. I don't know how much tofu she was eating, but it was incredible. And I discharged Miss Stella, but over the course of her being my patient, I came to love Miss Stella. I would call her, and she would answer the phone. I said, Stella, hang up, because I need to hear your voice message for the day. She would put a Bible verse on her answer machine every single day. The last visit I went to see Miss Stella, she handed me a DVD. And I took it to be nice. And I sat down in my car. And when I sat down in the car, I took the DVD. And what did I do with it? I threw it in the back. And in my car, it was a home health car. If anybody's ever been a home health nurse or seen a home health nurse's car, it's
the pit of despair.
The pit of despair, she called it. I really planned to throw it away the next time I saw the car. Well, about 6 weeks later, I came home. And my lovely bride was home, and she had been doing a little bit of house cleaning, and around our TV, she saw a DVD that she'd never seen before. Now, listen, I never carried the DVD in, and she didn't go out and get it. Wonder how that happened. And so she watched the DVD. Why don't you pick it up from here, hon?
So I picked up that DVD that was positioned perfectly by our DVD player. That was the days when people still had DVD players. Now, we're old school, and we still do. So as I was looking at it, you know, the imagery on the front was very intriguing. You know, this beast with all these heads and a woman with crowns. And so I thought, he must have brought that in. And I remembered him saying, I'm going to throw it away. And I thought, well, I'll just watch it first. It's just like 22 minutes, and then I'll throw it away. So as I was watching this DVD, Home Alone, I'm yelling at the TV going, that's not true. Who are you people? Why are you saying these things? So I flipped the DVD over, and it said amazingfacts.org on the back. So I went to amazingfacts.org to investigate. And there on the homepage was Doug Batchelor. Of course, I didn't know who he was then. But there was 24 prophecy teachings. And I had always been curious about Revelation. I didn't even know about Daniel at that time. And no Baptist minister could ever explain anything about prophecy to me. I mean, some of them said it was a closed book. And I thought, well, that's strange, because right there in the first of it, it says there's a blessing pronounced for those who read it and teach it to others. So I thought, well, that can't be true. Now, I didn't want to get sucked into error, right? So I reasoned that if I compared everything with Scripture, I would be safe. So I got out every Bible translation we owned and the Strong's Concordance. It was a big book then. Now it's on your phone, but then it was, you know, a big book. And imagine my utter shock when these strange teachings were right there in Scripture. Something like scales began falling off of my eyes. As we were being led, God had his eyes on us. shadows come.
And why does my heart feel lonely and long for heaven at home?
When Jesus is my portion, watches me.
So I sing
because I'm happy,
and I sing
because I'm free. Yeah. His eye is on the sparrow.
I love that song too. I was telling Pastor Carl that I think it was you I was telling that the first time I ever preached was at my sister's funeral. She had died of cancer, but the week before she died, I had flown back from Colorado Springs back to Texas, and I went into the room and I had the conversation with her, and I said, "Gail, I'm not going to get to see you again. But can we talk about your service? What do you want?" She says, "Well, I don't know who's going to preach it." And she's looking at me, and she's, "But no matter what, how that goes down, my favorite song is His Eyes on the Sparrow." And I said, "Gail, I don't know that song." And she looked at me, she said, "My favorite song is His Eyes on the Sparrow." I said, "I understand." So back to our story. When I got home that evening, Donna, she was sitting there. Y'all, this is just, it just burned in my mind. I walked in the room and she's sitting there surrounded by every religious piece of material that we own, and it was a lot. I said, "What are you doing?" And she looked at me and she says, "I think that we've got some things wrong in what we believe." And I responded, as any wise husband does to his lovely bride, "I'm good. Leave me out of it." But I married a curious individual. You can't say to this lady, "Don't worry about it," because she's going to worry about it. And she investigated. Well, it didn't end there.
I was on video 5 on the prophecy code down Amazing Facts homepage by the time he got home. My mind was being flooded with Bible truth as the Word of God was being opened before me. What had previously been presented to me as hard to understand was actually plain and straightforward.
You know, it several months later, I knew that she was watching these things and learning these things, and I would not engage with her about it too much because, hey, I'm good. And we had moved, and we went to a Sunday church, and as we were walking back across the parking lot to go to the truck to go home, she says to me, now every married man in here will understand, there's a point with your wife, when she says a certain thing a certain way, there is no more discussion. We're walking across the parking lot, and she says, I'm not going to Sunday church anymore. She said, Saturday is the biblical Sabbath, and I'm going to follow what the Bible says. And so I did what any wise husband would do. I sat down to watch the whole video series to prove to her that she had fallen into error. But God had other plans.
He was walking us into present truth, and our Redeemer is faithful and true.
I've traveled, I see so many times he's carried me through. And if there's one thing that I've learned in this life, is my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true, and everything he has said he will do. And every morning his mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true.
Rejoices when I read the promise. There is a place that I'm preparing for you, and someday I'll see my Lord face to face. 'Cause my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything he has said he will do. Every morning his mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful. He has proved his love for me. When I lack the understanding, he gives more grace to me. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything he has said, he will do. Every morning, his
is faithful and true.
So when I started watching these videos, I quickly realized that everything that I was watching was absolutely true. It was straight out of the Bible, and no matter how I tried to argue against it, I just could not disprove it. So the disbelief turned to excitement. And I began devouring these videos, and Donna started, she's watching them with me again, and we would stay up to 12, 1, 2 o'clock at night watching video after video after video, and I would go to sleep, say, man, I got to go to sleep, I got to work tomorrow. And the Lord would wake me up at 3 o'clock in the morning and say, get up, you've got something to watch. And I would go into my office, and I remember one night I'll tell you this. My son had slammed a door, so I took the door off the hinges so he couldn't slam the door anymore. But anyway.
We were those kind of parents.
He came out of the room and said, can you turn that down? At 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm watching prophecy videos. And so when I got to the end of all the videos, I just told Donna, I said, this is truth. This is truth. But then we had this dilemma. If you've ever seen the Prophecy Code series, they don't tell you what church they're associated with. And so Donna says, well, who worships on Saturday? Now, I remembered all my life, I've ran across Seventh-day Adventists. I remember in school that there were kids that couldn't go to the Friday night football games, and then I remember when I was in the Air Force, there were people that if we had weekend duty they wouldn't work. I worked with a guy that wouldn't work on Saturday, and we just thought, that's kind of weird, you know, whatever, man, you do you, right? And so I remembered the Seventh-day Adventists, but I was very scared of this group because I'd always been told they're a cult. And so like a wise husband, I pulled up this SDA church manual and I read it from one end to the other. How many of you have read the church manual? I asked that at the Northern California camp meeting, and there's two guys out of a group about this size that raised their hand, but it's a riveting read, isn't it? Oh, so exciting. So exciting. So, oh, yes, it's you. Go ahead, baby doll.
After my initial excitement of finding Sabbath worshipers, my wise husband said to me, honey, we have a problem. Their manual says they don't drink coffee. And I said, what? No coffee? That was unthinkable to me at the time. I no longer drink coffee. It makes me sick now. God has his ways. So I thought for a moment, and I came up with a solution. We just won't tell them. So we found the closest SDA church in Fayetteville, Arkansas. And then we landed at the Springdale, Arkansas church. And when we shared our story with our new friends there, we all had a good laugh over the coffee when they assured me that they don't breathalyze people at the door. The church then hosted an Amazing Facts evangelistic series with speaker Jason Sliger. I don't know if you all have ever heard of Jason and his wife Midori. That's before they had children, and he was still with Amazing Facts. And so we went through the prophecy seminar again in person. And in March of 2010, we were rebaptized into the SDA faith.
Amen. Amen. You know, unless you're born into Seventh-day Adventist, you don't just fall into it. You learn your way in. And, you know, after we realized that our prior Bible study habits, or lack thereof. That's really what contributed to us. We had staked our salvation on unbiblical teachings. But as a result of this, we became good Bereans. And we purposed in our heart that we're going to study diligently. And Daniel and Revelation, those books just began to just open up and blossom. So the next song that we're going to sing, it comes straight out of Revelation chapter 5. Here, now here's the scene. John is standing in the throne room of heaven. And God is holding this scroll, and it's sealed with seven seals. And inside is the title deed to this earth and the future of everyone in it. And this mighty angel calls out and says, "Is there anyone worthy to open the seal?" But nobody answers. Not one person in heaven, not one on earth, not one under the earth. And John breaks down and he wept. But one of the elders said to him, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." That's it.
Do you feel the world is broken? Deepen.
We do.
But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through?
We do.
Do you wish that you could see it all made new?
We do.
It is.
Is a new creation coming?
It is.
Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst?
It is.
Is it good that we remind ourselves of this?
And time.
made us a kingdom and priests to God to reign with the Son. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy? Is he worthy? Is he worthy of this? His.
Is he worthy? Is he worthy? His.
His. He is worthy. He is worthy. His.
The Lamb is worthy indeed. Amen. So, as we continued, we were growing in knowledge and in faith, and we were delighted to learn about our great high priest in heaven that ministers for us day and night. We were thrilled to understand what Jesus is doing now, right now, for us in the heavenly sanctuary, for those of us that follow the Lamb wherever he goes.
sanctuary.
He seals my bond with Him in the sanctuary up in heaven. He makes provision for me in the sanctuary.
About 18 months after Miss Stella gave me the DVD, I have to put this in, Hara. I'm sorry, I just have to. It's just too important. I had discharged Miss Stella. About 18 months after she gave me the DVD, we were baptized into the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And I called up Miss Stella. I went back to the office and I got her phone number and I called her. I said, "Miss Stella, this is Wiley. Do you remember me?" She said, "Yes, I do. I pray for you and Jordan and Donna every single day."
And I had never met her at this point.
I just said, "Miss Stella, I just want you to know that we're being baptized into the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and we really want you to be there." I got to back up from the mic from this part. She said, "Woo, thank you, Jesus."
She really did.
And when we were baptized, Miss Stella stood on the stage and did the same thing that I just did right there. I grew up in a bluegrass family. I sang my first song on stage with my dad when I was 4 years old. And it scared me to death. And I didn't get on another stage until I was 14, when I surrendered into the music ministry. The Lord placed that call on my life at 14, and it's never gone away. So I grew up playing bluegrass with my dad, and that's a genre that we really love. And so we're going to kind of do a couple of bluegrass tunes here. And if you know it, sing it. You know, if you don't know it, you'll know it when we're done with it, okay?
I have heard of a Jesus on high, where we never shall die, in a land where we'll never grow old, never grow old, never grow old, in a land where souls are o'er. All our sorrows will end. All our voices will blend. With the loved ones we'll meet on the shore.
Gonna be, oh wow, I'm not gonna have to have these silly things anymore. Praise God.
When we came into this message, one truth in particular meant a lot to us, and it was the truth about death. We were comforted to know the truth about the state of the dead. No one had ever been able to give us a firm, thus saith the Lord, about where our deceased loved ones are.
You know, everybody has an opinion on this, right? But nobody seems to agree. So we read what Jesus said about his friend Lazarus. In John chapter 11, verse 11, these things he said, and after that he said to him, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up." Now, Jesus called death sleep. Not gone, not passed away, not lost. They were asleep. And he knows exactly where every one of them are. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18 tells us, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout." I was thinking about this when we were talking about the rapture earlier, brother. He descends with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God. You think this is loud? "And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. And therefore, comfort one another with these words." Comfort one another. If you've buried someone, you don't need a theory. You need a promise. All right, there it is.
We'd like to do another bluegrass number for you.
When I go, don't cry for me. Resting in his arms I'll be. The light of Jesus' face, and I will not be ashamed, for my Savior knows my name. It don't matter where you bury me, soon be home and I'll be free. Away. Go
home and I'll be free. It don't matter where I lay, all my tears be washed away. It don't matter where you bury me, soon be home and I'll be free. It don't matter where I lay, all my tears be washed away.
To the SDA message through literature. Someone handed us something to watch. So now we have a literature ministry called Wherever You Go. And we use that ministry, Everyday Errands, to hand out literature wherever we go. We've heard some SDAs say that literature ministry doesn't work. Well, you're looking at two people that it didn't work with right here. Literature got our attention, and it will get other people's attention as well. In fact, it's one of the easiest ways to share the truths that we know. Just hand somebody something. I've only had one person refuse, and then I blessed him in the name of Jesus anyway. All of us who are under the banner of Christ are called to share the truths that we are so privileged to know. We also believe in Bible study. We have three active Bible studies going now via Zoom. That's how we got grounded. That's where we learned to study. That's where we learned, because before, we weren't studying. We were just kind of sitting in a pew, and whatever the pastor, you know, the couple of verses he decided to preach on, we were kind of good with that. That's just not enough. There is a need for us to study the Word of God so we're not deceived. The very essence of deception is that it looks genuine. It looks like truth. Deception deceives.
Yeah.
The remedy? We must know for ourselves who Jesus is and what he says.
Last night we were telling our story to a brother, and he asked us a question. He said, how is it? If I get it wrong, brother, I'm sorry, but it was something along this line. How is it that after 16 years, you've maintained this level of excitement? And we've talked about it, we pondered, we wanted. I stumbled across an answer, and you know, we've talked about it. But if you look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'm going to answer your question, brother. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. Says, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned, who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So this is the answer to that profound question. A love of the truth. That's why we're excited. I want to unpack that for a second. So when we realized that we had been deceived, and we started becoming students of the Bible and understanding true biblical teaching, we got really excited. Yeah, this is good stuff. We're lost, but now we're found. We learned that we're saved from our sin, not in our sin. The love of truth led us to righteousness by faith. The love of truth led us to have victory over sin. We can live victorious lives right now. And the purpose of Last Song Ministry is to share this message with as many people as we can. Anybody know exactly what time we started?
7:35-ish. We've had a request for a song that we did earlier. Would it be okay if we do the song again?
This one, okay. And one more. You're already yawning, so it's okay. My watch just beeped at me 15 minutes or at 8:15 and said, hey, you have 15 minutes until you have to go to bed.
We're old. We like to be in bed by 8:30. We did the song earlier, and it's called The Middleman, and it is a very special song. Hold up, Kenny.
There was a mountain. A good man. There were two thieves, a man called Barabbas was doomed for the tree, but Jesus took the middle one and Barabbas went free. Of a skull, no yellow flowers, no trees in bloom. The scenery was so dull. Three crosses to black and bold against a darkened sky. Not for pain, but a broken heart.
That middle man died. I know. He first loved me. Praise to that man who died on Mount Calvary. The middleman made it possible that I could go free.
Wiley is going to close us out with one of the songs he sang in the gospel quartet Southern Grace. This is the song that I fell in love with him to. He would invite me to his concerts, and I was not interested in Southern gospel at that time whatsoever. But I went, hey, I don't have anything better to do, so I would go. And he was the lead singer. And so this song, this last song, is about a man who had a dream. He walks into heaven and finds every single thing he was promised. The streets of gold, the mansions, people he loves, and none of it is enough for him. He wants to see Jesus.
A city called glory. It was so bright and fair. Well, when I entered the gates, I cried, holy. And all the sights I saw, but I said, I want to see Jesus. Mark. and I sat down with Timothy. Oh, but I said, hey, Timothy,
song still gets me.
Me too.
We've enjoyed every minute with each one of you, getting to know you, being here, you know, for the time that we have been. Please stop by our table on your way out. We want to meet you if we haven't already. We hope our music was encouraging and uplifting. Yeah. Last Song Ministry runs on the generosity of God's people. If your heart was stirred tonight, if our music and mission resonates with you, we invite you to support our ministry by purchasing some of our music or becoming a monthly supporter. You can find everything out about that by just visiting our website. The support that we receive in donations keeps us on the road and allows us to visit churches that may not be able to afford musicians. It also allows us to record and produce more albums. We have come to the realization that through albums, we can reach more people than we can in person. And so some of the new albums that we are planning to record are Beloved Hymns, Scripture Songs, a Bluegrass Gospel album, and Praise Songs. And then, who knows, Christmas, I mean, it can just go from there. So our music is available, and we hope you'll take at least one to play or maybe give as a gift.
So the three things I want to tell you about. We have a free book for all of you. If you don't already
have
it,
we have
a free
book. Just stop by and pick it up.
And there's two cards on our table. One for Last Song. I want all of you to take a card for Last Song. Take them back to your church. We want to come sing at your church. Okay? The second one is my business card, AI Peak Biz. Why is this guy talking about his business? Okay, here's the goal. The goal is to go and sing and proclaim this message and not charge a dime ever, ever, ever. Anybody heard of AI? That's what my business is. AI Peak Biz is the name of the business. My cards are back there. If you are a business owner, if you are a ministry director or work in a ministry, you need AI. If you know a business owner, they need AI. Take one of my AI cards, give it to him, say, call this guy. This is going to fund this ministry.
And it will help expedite the work, because we know the gospel has to go throughout the world before Jesus comes. And when we work more efficiently, which is what AI does, it speeds things up and hopefully the return of Jesus.
And in closing, I want to pray over you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you now and I thank you. You are holy. And I thank you for the messages that we learned this week. I lift up my brothers and sisters in this room and those that have attended and those that are out in the campground. Father, I ask for your special hand of blessing on each and every one. May they live in your light and proclaim your truth to everyone they come in contact with. Lord, we love you and we praise you. And we thank you so much for this time of worship. You are holy. Amen.